the Lord, my dear friend. Let me once again welcome you to your most favorite program, The Pentecost Hour, proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost Headquarters. We are most privileged to have on Pentecost Hour an apostle of the Church of Pentecost and a missionary. He is in the person of Apostle Dr. Della Quampa. He examines the subject eschatology. So my dear friend, let us listen to Apostle Dr. Della Quampa. A rock of refuge, you are my hiding place and shield. Be to me a rock of refuge, you are my hiding place and shield. In you, oh Lord, do I take refuge. Do not cast me from your
refuge. Do not cast me from your presence. Be to me a rock of refuge. You are my hiding place and shield. Be to me a rock of refuge. You are my hiding place and shield.
My beloved listener, God bless you for tuning in to listen to Pentecost Hour. And the leadership of the Church of Pentecost is appreciated deeply for sponsoring this program. And I appreciate Pastor David Olaga and then the Apostle Dan Taki, who is the radio minister of the Church of Pentecost, and everybody who contributed to make this program a reality. Last week, I started teaching on eschatology, or something marking the end time events. And in trying to explain some of the technical terms relevant to the end time events, one key word that is defining and operative in teaching about eschatology emerge, which was the millennium. Now, to understand the millennium, we need to read from Revelation 20, 1 to 6. Revelation 20, 1 to 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, closed it, and put a seal on it, so that he would no longer deceive the nations until the 1,000 years are completed. After that, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones and people seated on them who were given authority to judge. And I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of God's word, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and who had not accepted the mark on their foreheads, on their hands. They came to life and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over this, but they will be priests of God and the Messiah, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Frequently occurring in this short passage that I've just read is the term 1,000 years, the phrase 1,000 years, 1,000 years. According to the concept of millennialism or the millennium actually refers to 1,000 years. And last week, I remember telling you about premillennialism, premillennial rapture. That is, the rapture occurs before the millennium. The rapture occurs before the millennium in the sense that it is believed the next major event that would take place in history would be the rapture of the church. And after the rapture, there would be the Bema Throne Judgment, which would occur in heaven, where Christians will receive their reward. And then there will be tribulation on earth. The tribulation will be an intense period of suffering that would last for 7 years. And then after the tribulation, there would be the battle of Gog and Armageddon, which we'll be talking about later. After that battle, as we just read from Revelation 21 to 6, Satan would be chained and put in the abyss or in a deep pit so that he would no longer be here on earth to be tempting men and destroying people and then turning people against the purpose of God. There will be perfect peace, stability, and harmony throughout the 1,000 years. And it is during the 1,000 years that the saints would come down to earth with Christ to rule in that perfect millennial kingdom. 1,000 years of the perfect rule of Christ is what we refer to as millennialism. Now, depending on which position you take, we have three of them as to how the millennium is interpreted. The first one is millennialism. Those who believe in the millennium, that there will be literal 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth as narrated in Revelation 21 to 6. Then there is the second position referred to as amillennialism. That is, those who do not believe that millennium is a literal 1,000 years. To them, the church age is just symbolic of the millennium. So there is no specific period referred to as the millennium coming. That is the amillennial position. Then we have the post-millennial position or post-millennialism. Post-millennialism believes that the church will gradually bring about a perfect millennial rule for Christ. And when the church brings that perfect age about, Christ will return. This position was championed by Daniel Whitby, who lived from 1638 to 1726, that the church, as the church evangelizes, the world is going to change and improve, and then a perfect world system will be established. But this position lost its credibility after the two world wars. Then the third one, which a lot of Christians stand for, is what we call premillennialism. That is, Christ appears to rapture the saints before the millennium, and then there will be a 1,000 literal years. As we read from Revelation 20, Christ would come and rule with the saints. That is premillennialism. Now, the key question that people ask, my beloved listener, And if that we're talking about eschatology, is when will Christ return? Let us say this, that many people have attempted to date the return of Christ, but each time Christ has failed to keep the appointment. Even in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 18, Paul appears to be sure that he would experience the parousia in his lifetime. The best response to the question, when is Christ coming, is we don't know. Matthew 24, verse 6 says, but the end is not yet. We don't know. Acts 1, 7 says, it is not for you to know the time and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. In my lifetime, we have had a couple of predictions of when Christ was coming. Some people have given up their jobs. Some people have drained their bank accounts. Some people refuse to plan for the future because they thought the coming of Christ was imminent. And as I said, Christ did not keep the appointment. May God grant you grace. May you be like the men of Issachar. May you understand the trends and the times and the seasons. And may you never make a mistake in trying to predict the coming of Christ and disorganizing or messing up your life. Now, as I said earlier, the next major event that we are expecting to happen relevant to the second coming of Christ is the rapture. According to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 and 1 Corinthians 15:51, Christ would descend, but he would not touch the ground. He would hang in the air and then act like a magnet to attract the saints, to attract the dead saints who would have resurrected first, and then the living saints will be translated, and then they will also be attracted and be whisked up to join Christ in heaven. That is what the word rapture means. Rapture, from the Greek word harpazo, means to snatch or to seize or to take away. Some controversial people claim that the word rapture is not in the Bible, which is true. However, it is an appropriate terminology to describe the whisking away of Christians when the Lord appears to rescue his church from this evil age. Concerning the time of the rapture, we have three positions among Christians. We have the first one, which is referred to as pre-tribulation rapture. Pre-tribulation rapture, that is, the rapture would occur before the tribulation. That is, the intense period of suffering that would come upon the earth. Pre-tribulation rapture. And I want to say that that is my position, and that is the tradition I advocate. There is also the mid-tribulation rapture. The mid-tribulation rapture refers to the fact that the rapture would occur midway through the tribulation. As I said, the tribulation is supposed to last for 7 years. So mid-tribulation rapture believes that 3.5 years into the tribulation, the rapture would occur. That is mid-tribulation rapture. Then we have post-tribulation rapture, which believes that the church will go through the tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation, the rapture would occur. But I am preaching on pre-tribulation rapture. Now, my beloved listener, various scripture is used to support each position. First one, pre-tribulation rapture is supported by Revelation 3:10, where Christ promised to save the church out of trouble, to keep the church out of trouble. Two, the removal of the resident of the Spirit implies that the believers will be removed from this earth. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-8 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-8 indicates that at the end of the age, the spirit would be taken out, because the spirit is the one preventing the manifestation of the Antichrist. Once the spirit goes, the believers would go with the spirit. That is the rapture. And then pre-tribulation rapture. The tribulation is the outpouring of the wrath of God, and the church, according to Revelation 6:17, will be exempted from wrath. These are the positions that support pre-tribulation rapture. Then, the rapture can only be imminent if it is pre-tribulational. That is, the rapture is going to occur as the next major event before the tribulation. My beloved listener, we are challenged, we are encouraged, we are inspired to live in commitment, dedication, holy and righteous, in anticipation, so that when the trumpet sounds, when the Lord appears in the sky with the angels, you may be whisked up to go and join him for eternity. Now, for mid-tribulation, those who believe in mid-tribulation rapture, which means that the rapture would occur 3.5 years into the tribulation, they think that the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15:12 is the same as the seventh trumpet of Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15, which occurs in the middle of the tribulation. So that is a support for mid-tribulation rapture. The Great Tribulation, point number two, the Great Tribulation is also the last half of Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9:24-25. Daniel 9:24-25. And the church is promised deliverance only from the Great Tribulation. And the third point is this. The resurrection of the witnesses pictures the rapture, which occurs in the middle of the tribulation. The witnesses which resurrected reveals the rapture, and this one occurs in the middle of the tribulation. These are the positions for those who believe in mid-tribulation rapture. For those who support post-tribulation rapture, to them, the New Testament does not specifically mention pre-tribulation rapture. And then also, to support post-tribulation rapture, it is believed that the tribulation is closely linked to the Lord's return in some passages. So, for the post-tribulation rapture, for those who believe in post-tribulation rapture, they think that there is only one coming, and there are no two second comings of Christ, and that after the tribulation, Christ would come and rapture the church. That is their position. Then, regarding the rapture, we should know that the rapture will be marked by the gathering of the elect, according to Matthew 24:31. Then the sound of the trumpet of God would occur, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And then the last trumpet at which our bodies will be changed is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. All these seem to be the same according to the post-tribulation rapture position. All these events are the same, so there is no need, according to the post-tribulation rapture concept, to separate the rapture from the second coming. All these seem to refer to the very return and the parousia of Christ. As I said the last time, the rapture is the next major event that is supposed to occur in the church history or in the history of humanity. After the rapture, we expect Christians to be whisked to heaven to experience the Bema's throne judgment, where rewards will be awarded to Christians. But whilst this takes place in heaven, where Christians are being rewarded in heaven, there will be intense suffering on earth, which is the tribulation. My beloved listener, you don't want to experience the tribulation. This intense suffering shouldn't be your portion. May you live a holy life. May you live a life dedicated to God. May you live a life that would honor God, so that when Christ appears, you'll be raptured to join the host of saints in heaven and to receive your reward at the Bema Seat Judgment. Now, during the tribulation, which we'll be talking about in greater detail with time, a couple of events or manifestations would take place. And I just want to mention them as I bring this message to a close and we prepare for the next slot and the eschatology. The Antichrist will be revealed. As I said last week, the word Antichrist just refers to everything that opposes the knowledge of Christ. However, a significant figure, an individual, a human being, would emerge who would be referred to as the Antichrist. He would imitate Christ and also oppose Christ. History and time will reveal the Antichrist. Then, after the tribulation, we expect the parousia, that is the second coming of Christ, when he would actually come to earth and engage in the battle of Armageddon. The parousia would lead to the battle of Armageddon, which is a very significant battle in history. Revelation 16:16 records the battle of Armageddon, which we might talk about later in detail. After the battle of Armageddon, then would occur the millennial reign of Christ, where there will be perfect peace, harmony, stability, unity, love, and understanding in all human communities without war, tension, or anything of the kind. That is when Satan will be chained and Satan will no longer be around to tempt people and to destroy people and try to oppose God's purpose during the millennium reign. So, it is during the millennial period that Christ would establish a perfect world order with the saints, and there will be peace and harmony in all communities. There will be peace and harmony between mankind and nature. Natural disasters would cease. Snakes would not bite. The lion would not attack human beings, but it would chew grass, as the prophets predicted earlier, like the goat or sheep. Then Christ and the saints will reign in a perfect government for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years is up, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit. When he is released from the bottomless pit, Satan would go and gather a host of soldiers. He will build an army that would try and fight Christ and the saints. And that battle, which is referred to as the Battle of Gog and Magog, the Battle of Gog and Magog will be the ultimate battle, the final battle to be fought on earth. In that battle, Satan will finally be defeated, and then he will be chained and put in the lake of fire, place of eternal destruction. He will not emerge from that place again to come and tempt anybody or destroy anything. The ultimate end of Satan is in the lake of fire. However, that is not the end of history. The last event, the very ultimate event that will mark the end of history, is the Great White Throne Judgment. the great white throne judgment. That is where the goats will be separated from the sheep. That is where believers will be separated from unbelievers. That is where wicked people will be separated from righteous people. And then, if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will suffer the same fate like Satan. You would end up in the lake of fire. That is why we are using every means, every method, even this radio medium, to warn you to flee from the wrath of God, that your fate will not be like that of Satan, but then you'll be rescued from the lake of fire. Your portion will be with the righteous. Your portion will be with believers. You would enjoy eternity in the presence of God. I pray for you, my dear listener, that you will be saved by grace, rescued by grace, transformed by grace, destined for heaven. May heaven be your ultimate hope. May you be saved from the lake of fire, which is the ultimate end of Christ, where the Bible says there will be pain, there will be trauma, there will be gnashing of teeth for eternity, suffering for eternity. May that not be your portion. May God grant you grace. May you be saved. May you be transformed, even as you confess your faith in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you very much, my dear friend, for being part of this edition of Pentecost Hour, proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost headquarters. And we have been listening to Apostle Dr. Dela Kwampa, an apostle of the Church of Pentecost and a missionary. If you have been touched by this message and you want to give your life to Christ, to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, let me give you this opportunity. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my Lord and personal Savior. I'll live for you all the days of my life. So help me, God. Thank you very much, my dear friend. If you have said a prayer, kindly call 024-767-9833. 024-767-9833. I am Daniel Ni Tetetaki. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.